Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Dynasty Tradecast on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by the Blue Wire Network. And today, we are sponsored by the good people over at Underdog Fantasy. Make sure to tune in to later in the show so you can get a 100% deposit match for your $100 deposit over at Underdog, and that can turn into billions. All right, today, we are missing Dan once again. His coworker has COVID, so you can boo them and slap them in the face. But don't slap Dan. I like his face. It's nice. But today, you aren't – I should have said it before I said that, because now people are going to be turning it off. Like, we don't need another Nathan Solo episode in our life. I think that John is like one of three people who listen to the Nathan Solo episodes. And John Bosch, is the person who is with me today. He was like, I listen to the solo episodes, but if you need somebody, let me know, because like they're really bad.
I listen to every solo episode until you say it's a solo episode. Yeah, so I always tune in for it.
So we are joined by...
That's not true, Nathan. I listen all the way through.
We are joined by John
Bosch. You have to mess with your phone when you're driving. So.
Oh, absolutely. John Bosch, commissioner extraordinaire, and podcast extraordinaire, Dynasty Game Night, all those fun things. Wall Street, is that still a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Probably the one I do more than anything else, actually, at this point.
There we go. All right, so today we got one slight, small, very teensy-weensy news and notes. And then basically today, we're going to be picking John Bosch's brain with ideas that I have, but mostly centered around things that I know John has talked about on the Twitter sphere, on his podcasts, and other things. And then we will end with a game of comparing rookies to theme parks John has been to. So we'll start off with the news and note. Gronk has retired, allegedly, reportedly. When asked, his agent Drew has now said that if Tom Brady calls him in the middle of the season, Gronk will likely pick up that phone call. So what are the fantasy implications of Gronk retiring? Because my personal opinion, I have Gronk on a few teams, and I hate this news, if only because I know that I'm going to drop him in late August and he's going to come back in mid-October.
Don't drop him. There is some fourth-round rookie pick that you picked up this year, Nathan. I know you did. I know what you stash on your rosters. I know the garbage that you have. Drop that player. You're probably like, well, he's taxi-eligible and Gronk's not. Find a way to keep Gronk on your roster, because you know if you do drop him, he is definitely coming back if you drop him. So just keep him and let him sit out the whole year if need be. Like, I won't drop him. I will keep him on rosters. If anybody does drop him, I'll definitely put blind bid on him to put him on my rosters.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when we're talking about dropping guys, it's obviously a conversation of roster spots. Like, if you're in 20 roster spots or less, I don't see a way that you can you can roster Rob Gronkowski in his retirement. But if you're in the 24, if you're in the 24 range, I think it's fringe. I think if you're in the 28 to 30 range, I think it's an easy keep. So I think in the shallower leagues, it might be a little bit more difficult. But I agree that if for no other reason, like, you know, especially with roster cut decisions, you want to make the decision that doesn't bite you in the butt. And, like, is dropping, I don't know, the Chigozum guy, the tight end from the Tennessee Titans, is yes, that going to bite you? Is that guy, is dropping him going to bite you in the butt? Probably not. Is dropping Robert Gronkowski going to bite you in the butt? It could, you know, and by giving you that nice little playoff run in mid-October to late November.
I mean, trade value alone, if Gronk comes back, you're getting a pick for him. Like, you're getting something from him.
Right.
Whether and obviously, you use him or not, you're going to get something out of him.
And obviously, we didn't really know when he came back the first time, like, what his length of the comeback would be. But he was a late second round, you know, rookie pick type value immediately the moment he unretired, if not higher, you know, in tight end premium and formats like that. Now,
he scored good points last year too, right?
Yeah, like, no, he's basically been a tight end one for the Bucs in both years.
He plays, he's good.
Now, but we're gonna enter the universe that Gronk doesn't come back in August or maybe doesn't even come back in October. Where are we at with the Cade Otton, the fourth round pick, the top of the fourth round they selected in the NFL draft versus Cameron Brate season?
I'm really excited for Mike Evans. I'm really, really excited for Mike Evans. I got Cade Otton for $1 in a couple of rookie auctions over the last few weeks. I don't think I'd get him for $1 again. He's probably $3 or $4 whole dollars now. Like, I mean, I'm not really excited for either of them. Cameron Brate is the tight end that he's always been. I don't want to have to start him if I have no other options. And like, my main starter's hurt, my backup's on bye. I'll throw Cameron Brate in there and just hope I get a touchdown. Like, I do not want to be relying on either of these players in my tight end spot.
Sure. And I know this can be said basically for every tight end there is, but in best ball, Cameron Brate's going to have a few startable weeks.
Oh, for sure.
And I'm not sure you can say that about Cade Otton. Like, I don't know what we're going to get from him. It could be literally zero. It could be, you know, like 30 catches for like 200 yards or something crazy like that. I don't know what we're going to get from Cade Otton. I'm fairly confident that in the scenario the Bucs offense is in right now, which is just Mike Evans and Chris Godwin coming back in a little bit, I think that you can lock in Cameron Brate for 7 to 8 touchdowns. It's just, when are those 7 to 8 touchdowns going to occur? But in general, I think that in redraft best ball, but also just in best ball in general, I'm targeting Brate as a late round target. I don't know how, like, is Brate no longer going to be a late round target? In Dynasty, obviously, he still has zero value. But do you think that his redraft price might bump up to, like, the 12th, 13th round?
No.
No?
I don't think so. Maybe. I don't play as much redraft as Dynasty. But still, like, even in, like, just, like, best ball drafts and stuff, I wouldn't want to put a 13 or 14 round pick on him. Like, no, I'd be okay putting a very late round pick on him and just hoping for the best. But now I'm just not in on Cameron Brate.
All right. From one. And Cade Otton, by the way, I do think this bumps him up into dynasty value because he's going to get an opportunity. And if for nothing else, there's that. But also, this is good news for Cade Otton managers, because we weren't expecting to see anything from Cade Otton in 2022. Now, if you see nothing from Cade Otton in 2022, he's very easily droppable this time next year. Whereas if Gronk had played, there would have been like, oh, what's going to happen when Cade Otton gets the opportunity when Gronk leaves? Like, we're going to know whether or not Cade Otton has anything in the tank pretty quickly. I'm not saying he's going to have some breakout season, but he's at least going to get some sort of opportunity.
He went from being like a fifth round rookie pick or waiver wire pickup to probably a fourth round pick. Like, he's worth your last pick in a rookie draft, because you don't know. And a fourth round pick is, you know, you have priority over waiver wire in the fourth round. That's what he is now.
Now let's talk about one of your favorite topics. It is one Kyle Pitts. I think that he has one of the more interesting.
You guys do 5-hour shows, right?
We do not do 5-hour shows. Kyle Pitts, one of the more interesting cases of trade value versus startup value. I feel like every time we are on a broadcast together, I bring up Kaleidoscope. But I think I have one or two current shares of Kyle Pitts. One that I did have in the past was in your Kaleidoscope League, which is a 2 tight end league. It's tight end premium as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah, two tight end premium, pretty much as tight end premium as you can get. And in that league, I traded Kyle Pitts for T.J. Hockenson, or I traded Kyle Pitts in a first for T.J. Hockenson and C.D. Lamb. So basically, I saw it as Pitts for Lamb and then a first for Hockenson, kind of what the outlook of that trade was. And a lot of the group chat of the 99 other managers was like, how could you trade Kyle Pitts? Kyle Pitts is untradeable, da da da. And I thought that Dan and I got decent value because we are big C.D. Lamb believers. We think he has, wide receiver one overall upside. I guess what were your initial thoughts? I know that you're going to side with Kyle Pitts here, but what were your initial thoughts when you saw that trade coming up across your email?
I can't believe they traded Kyle Pitts for that. I am obviously a huge Kyle Pitts fan. It is a best ball lineup, so you don't have to make the decision on when to start either of these tight ends or any tight end. And you had access to any tight end you wanted. So that's the only reason it worked too tight end. Yeah. Cause otherwise I'm not a big fan of that setting, but you had the choice. And we also play three quarterbacks. So you start a lot of players in this league because of the design of the league where you pick whatever you wanted. It would choose your own adventure. So as much as I like Lamb, which I do, I still have him right up there in the top receivers. I mean, he's not Chase. He's not Jefferson. I think you can make an argument for him at 3. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that argument, but he's a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And for me, the difference between CD Lamb to so many other wide receivers is not as big as the gap that I see, even between Kyle Pitts and TJ Hockenson, much less Kyle Pitts and tight ends that are below TJ Hockenson, which it gets to be a pretty steep drop off at that point.
Yeah.
So that's just that positional advantage. It's so huge for me. And Pitts gives it to you more than anybody.
So you've been active in both the Kyle Pitts trade market and the Kyle Pitts startup market. So do you think that they're similar? Or do you think one is higher than the other? What are your thoughts on that comparison?
You'd be surprised at how inactive I've been in the trade market. Not because I haven't tried. success. I guess I have not been successful. I have been active. I have not been successful. You can't trade for Kyle Pitts. You just can't. Once somebody has him on his roster, in order to get him off their roster, his trade value is definitely higher than his startup value, unless I'm in there. If I'm in there, he's not going past 103 in a super flex league. I know a lot of people will take him at the back end of the first round. I might be crazy enough to take him even a little above 103, depending on how I want to play the league. But that's it for me. So for me, his value is skyrocket everywhere.
Yeah. So similar to how people talk about how the startup is going to be the cheapest time to buy a quarterback because people, hold on, those with death grip in the Superflex format. You're kind of seeing Kyle Pitts as a quarterback in Superflex, except for he's a tight end. And yeah. I'm assuming that for the most part, you're talking about tight end premium or 2 tight end, in a traditional, let's just say a Superflex one tight end, no premium league. Are you still taking him in that upper half of the first round?
Yeah. Tight end premium means nothing to me. Just because no matter what, you're starting Kyle Pitts versus somebody else's starting tight end. Mm-hmm. They're both being played on the same scoring system. So whether or not they're 1.5 points per catch or 1 point per catch, I'm getting the same ratio of advantage, no matter what the scoring system is. Tight end premium only really comes into play for me if you want to make a tight end a flexible option. You can put them in your flex. And I'm not just talking Travis Kelce, Kyle Pitts, the guys that you would already start in your flex. For tight end premium to really, really matter, you've got to make it so other tight ends get started over wide receivers and running backs. Pitts, I would start over them anyways, you know. But so tight end premium doesn't really matter to me. Yeah, he's my 103 easily in any super flex setup. And like I said, I could go higher on him for perhaps.
All right. Now, going from one player you're high on to a player I think you should be high on, I'm not sure your stance on him personally. I asked the question, are people bored with Patrick Mahomes?
I think people are bored with Patrick Mahomes. I think now is probably a good time to try and trade for him. Look, people love new things. I love Joe Burrow. I love Justin Herbert. I'm not moving them above Patrick Mahomes. For me, the order still goes probably Josh Allen, then probably Patrick Mahomes. But like, I don't mind flipping those two back and forth. I think Josh Allen has the advantage because of his legs and that production that you get. That Mahomes doesn't do that as much anymore. Like, he's come down on it a little bit.
Sure, but I mean, I think that you could make the same argument that as Mahomes has sustained a couple injuries, he's like, yeah, I should probably just stay in this pocket. I think that you might see that just as much from Josh Allen in a year or two, because he's going to learn real quickly, like, yeah, it really sucks when the Bills have to start player X, whoever. Oh, it's nope, not Trubisky anymore. I don't even know who their QB2 is.
I don't know either, but that's a year or two down the road. So we get at least one more year of probably Josh Allen running and taking all those goal line touchdowns, stuff like that. So I'll take that for now. That's the dividing line. That's what splits them. So I'm not really bored of Patrick Mahomes, but I do think other people, I do sense that in the trade market. I've seen it in the trade market. Like, you can get Mahomes for a lot less than you used to be able to. So if I have a quarterback, I can upgrade up to Mahomes, like a Dak plus something for Mahomes. I'm probably going to go out and get Mahomes. People are down on him because he lost Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce's getting older. You know, they still don't have a stud running back. So Kansas City's offense is Patrick Mahomes. I don't really care who's around him. He's going to produce.
Yeah, talking more about trades I've made. In the last month, I've actually acquired Patrick Mahomes twice this offseason in Superflex format. The first one being on draft night, I had an eager Eagles fan where I traded Lamar Jackson and A.J. Brown for Patrick Mahomes and basically a bunch of like second-round rookie picks. And so, you know, basically I think that – I still think there's a decent size gap between Mahomes and Lamar long-term because I think that there's the safety of Mahomes's arm and – I think that he's just going to be more productive for longer. And then I'll sacrifice AJ Brown's wide receiver production, you know, in exchange for the young pieces that I got in exchange. But the other one, maybe a little bit more interesting to talk about, is in the kitchen sink format. I traded myself and Russell Clay on a team we co-manage. We traded Trey Lance on a 3 and Jalen Waddle on a 3 for Patrick Mahomes on a 1. But if you're familiar with the kitchen sink format, theoretically, we can give a one-year contract to Mahomes in perpetuity. We only get 2 of those per year. But I can imagine, at least for the next several years, we're going to be giving that one-year contract to Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. I was trying to think through how kitchens – yeah, you're going to just keep – yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, there's no sense.
You're not going to get rid of him. Like, he's going to – and you pay whatever you have to get them on, keep them on your roster. Like, why not?
Yeah, no, it's definitely for those that are in the weeds of the kitchen sink format. The other option would be to RFA him, which would mean that I would have to match the bid that he comes in on, and the bid that would come in would probably be like 2,000 AP, which would cause, you know, large amount of trades needing to happen. So we're gonna just continue to tag him year in and year out. You should tag yourself with Underdog. So I want to talk to you guys a little bit about Underdog today. Underdog Fantasy is the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. For season-long drafts only, no waivers, trades, or lineup setting. Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy team in minutes. Sign up now with code ROTOVIZ, ROTOVIZ. You can get Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes in probably, I don't know, round 3, probably his ADP is right now in Underdog. And you'll double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit of $10 or more. Deposit $100, get $100 free. With their slick mobile app and user-friendly website, you'll have no problem jumping in and drafting your squad. It could be Patrick Mahomes, could be Josh Allen, who knows? Pick'em games, not available in every state where drafts are available, can win up to 20x your money in one night. 20x your money, wowzer. You can go to the bank, go to the grocery store, whatever you need with 20x your money. Pick over, under on your favorite players' stats to win big. Pick between two or five players. You can also pick rivals, which pitch two players against each other. Once again, that's promo code ROTOVIZ, ROTOVIZ. Get involved with Underdog today and Best Ball Mania 3. You can get millions. So, I'm telling you, $100 deposit bet. Hey, John, I'm going to loop you in here. Do you like free money?
I do like free money.
Do you like free money that could win you over $1 million?
Ooh, I would really like some free money that could win me over $1 million. Nathan, how do I find this free money that could win me over $1 million?
You go to Underdog Fantasy and use promo code ROTOVIZ and you enter Best Ball Mania 3 with your five entries to Best Ball Mania 3 with your $100 deposit match. Now let's get back on the show.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Now let's move on to some fun topics. We have some roster talk. I feel like on every podcast and every article and every Twitter feed, June and July is filled with, it's time to consolidate. You've done your rookie drafts. You've done your rookie auctions. You might be in your free agency auctions or Debbie drafts. Now is the time to consolidate your roster, especially in leagues that expand offseason rosters and then, you know, unexpand. What's the opposite of expand? Contract. Contract rosters in late August. You know, you never want to be the guy who is like six roster spots over and is like begging people to make trades in mid to late August. So this advice people are giving of consolidating rosters in June and July, is it easier said than done?
I don't think so, because I think if you want to do it, you will find a way to do it. Now, you might have to put in some effort. You can't just go into your chat and be like, hey, I want to give two players for one player. That's not going to work. The best way to get offers is to send offers. So if you can do it, I mean, people will respond. Maybe they're on vacation. Maybe they're not going to respond right away. But if you send an offer, you will get a response. Even if it's just a rejection, that's a response. So yeah, I don't think it's any easier or harder at any time of year. It's all just in the effort that you put in.
Yeah, I think that the difficult answer to this is, like, I think that the farther away you are from the cut deadline, so if you're in March, I think it's a little bit easier than it is in June, because people lose sight of that deadline the further away they are from it. And so I think that the one thing that is incredibly difficult, no matter what time of the year is, but particularly as you get later, is you shouldn't be using the end of your roster to consolidate your roster. More often than not, if you're looking at the end of your roster and you're like, okay, I'm going to figure out how to trade Chris Herndon, or I'm looking at how to trade, like Tutu Atwell, or I'm trying to think of like guys that would be on the end of your roster. More often than not, people are like, that guy's going to be on the waiver wire the day after you cut him. Like, why would I make that trade? I think more often than not, the better place to consolidate is take two starters, you know, like, you know, for example, to take, you know, an A.J. Brown and a Lamar Jackson and turn it to Mahomes and future picks. Or, you know, something like that where, like, you're taking two starter-level players and getting another starter-level player in a future pick or getting a much better starter-level player. So I think that's that is the more, quote-unquote, easy way to consolidate is don't make it obvious where it's like, hey, these are the guys that I'm cutting in 2 weeks. Make it guys that aren't cuttable but have roster value.
I don't really have a way to consolidate rosters or consolidate your roster without sending offers. I mean, I don't think about my roster the same way that some do, that I have to constantly be churning my bottom three or four players because I don't play the waiver wire anymore. I've just completely given up on it. So I guess one strategy I will do is I will offer a player and a pick a little more freely. I'm pretty free with giving away future picks. Now, I'm not giving away 2023 firsts. I know better than that. But like if somebody, I never let a third or a fourth hold up a deal. So if I offer a 2-for-1 and they seem a little hesitant, you know, maybe I'll say, well, would you like a bump from the fourth to the third? Something like that. Like you can always play with picks. Playing with picks always allows for a little bit easier consolidation and it does not add to your roster spots. Because it's picks.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, let's go to a commish topic. I think it's something that came up in our Kaleidoscope League chat, and I think I feel like it always comes up in our secret commish chat that we talk about all you guys in. How to keep complicated leagues fresh, you know, many years in, 4 or 5 years in. Because I'm even noticing it a little bit with some of the no-name leagues where it's like, you know, people aren't quite as excited for the rookie or the free agent, the debut option as they were in year one, year two. I think it's just a case of a league being several years in. But do you think it's a little bit more important or even just, you know, necessary to find a way to keep those complicated leagues fresh where it's not just like people are like, okay, I've done this dance with the rookie option, the free agency option, and like I'm going to go back to my, you know, boring goal one QB leagues.
No, I mean, for me, I'll never go back. I have zero interest in any league that's not unique. Like, for me, it's got to be different. Now, we're in the second year of Kaleidoscope. Obviously, nothing matches year one of any league. Yeah. Like, if you have a league that feels as fun in year 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 as it did when you're doing the startup, then either the startup was kind of lame for some reason, or you just have a really unique league. There are ways. One way is like turnover. Turnover, yeah. For me, I don't view turnover as a bad thing. It brings in fresh people into the league that when they join a league, a lot of times they're going to join for unique leagues. They're joining it and having this experience for the first time. So they kind of bring some of that enthusiasm back. So I love my dispersal season in my leagues. It rejuvenates the leagues.
Outside of the startup year, the most active season is going to be that dispersal. Especially dispersal auctions. I think it's a little bit harder in dispersal drafts because those aren't typically done on the league site. And so, you know, things get a little bit more hairy. But dispersal auctions where teams can like win a player and immediately trade them to a team that's in the dispersal, to a team that's not in the dispersal, can, you know, cause a lot of league movement. And also I think it ingratiates those new managers to the league where it's like you have the current managers like, oh, how do I make a trade with this guy and things like that. So I think that you're right that the number one way to keep league fresh is like if you want a league to die, don't do dispersals because like I can very easily see how things can get very stale if you're like, okay, like we lost two guys and we're going to just replace them with, okay, Johnny's going to take team A and Larry's going to take team B. That's going to kill a league instantly. I think that's more so a straw man because I don't think that even happens anymore outside of, you know, like public leagues.
No, I mean, I had to replace a couple of people in my Fog of War league, but this was after the dues were paid. We had already done some of the off-season activities. So at that point, then the dispersal had already taken place.
Yeah, sure.
But of course, I don't do the dispersal until after everybody's paid, because then if people change their mind later, two people get to come in, they get a free roll, you know, is what it is. They'll get that feel of that start next year if they want to join the dispersal again, because I always allow second chance in all my leagues, which I'm sure that's been discussed on here before. But for those that don't know, if you have a returning manager that they don't want to leave the league, but they also would like a do-over, give them the chance. Like, to me, I don't understand why a second chance isn't offered everywhere. Because I'd rather somebody say, okay, I'd rather just start over than say, okay, I don't want to be in the league anymore. I like to keep people that want to stay in the league. And so I'll to give them as many options as I can to keep them interested. And honestly, start overs are fun. Like, I've second chanced in my own leagues, and it's always fun. I join a lot of the dispersals just because I think I'm good at them, and it's fun. It sometimes
is always a cocky way of looking at it, especially like from the commissioner point of view, where it's like, yes. All right, I brought these three people in. I can kick their ass.
No, I mean, I just, not even in my leagues. I joined sure. Matt Price's Red List league. I literally went into that league just planning to do the dispersal every single year. And I think I've done it just about every year that it was even offered, because I just wanted to challenge myself to do that. I think I'm good at auctioning, and I think I can come out with a pretty good roster if I just keep churning it over and over and over. That's how I churn it. I just, you know, I start over with a new roster every year. I also have little loyalty to players and stuff. So to me, it's fine.
All right, we're going to wrap up this show with a little fun idea. John, like Dan, you have 18 kids. And
three.
Dan also has three. Dan also has three, which is 18. You know, and anything more than one is basically 18. So 18 kids. You gallivant around the country to various different theme parks with these children you have, and I'm assuming your wife.
Correct. That is who is always with me at this.
And so I would like you to compare 2022 rookies to theme parks that you've been to. And we can dive into why the matches are the way they are.
Okay. So I've been working on this since you sent it to me. There are still a couple of theme parks I don't even have listed. I'm really kind of shocked by that. Do you just want me to start at the top of the rookies?
Yeah, start at the top. Go ahead.
All right. So Breece Hall, he is Cedar Point. Expensive as can be. And if you want to get if you want to be locked in to have Breece Hall, it's going to be really expensive, which, you know, that's like adding in the fast passes and all that stuff to make sure that you get all the rides. So Breece Hall, Cedar Point, the best option. Like, if you want to ride roller coasters, you go to Cedar Point. There is no place in the world literally better for roller coaster riding. Now, I will say, he's a jet. I have been to Cedar Point on days where like three of their main rides are down. So there's also a possibility of the day not working out the way you want it to, because Breece Hall's a jet. But nonetheless, even like a bad day at Cedar Point, you're probably still having fun.
So you got a little bit of a floor with Breece Hall and Cedar Point.
Yes, exactly. So even if he's a little, you know, a jet, he's probably still fine. Drake London, Hollywood Studios, very fun. Definitely a good time. Loved it. Not the main attraction in the area.
Okay.
So obviously Kyle Pitts is there. Kenneth Walker, I actually gave to my home park, Kings Island. At this point, I still love Kings Island. I'm happy to go to Kings Island every day, which I do a lot. Maybe not every day. We didn't go today. First time we haven't gone in like 4 days. We go a lot. Kenneth Walker. But if at this point, like if I plan a trip, it's not to Kings Island. So it kind of feels like settling. But we're here. Like, we're here. It's close. You know, it's obtainable and it's fun. It's Kenneth Walker. Kind of feels like settling because he's not Breece Hall. Like, I couldn't get Breece Hall, so I got Kenneth Walker. Well, we couldn't go to Cedar Point this weekend, so we went to Kings Island. Still good. Garrett Wilson, he comes in at Magic Kingdom for me. everything you need, everything you need, but the location. he's a jet. Magic Kingdom's in Orlando, Florida. If you've been there at certain times of year, basically anything out of what, like December and January, Nathan?
February is Florida's coldest month.
Anything. And you don't want to go during Christmas because, like, it's just bad. So it's so crowded. So, and it's just, it's down in Florida.
But
kind of everything but location.
But I do think that Garrett Wilson's best day will be like a, you know, 9 catch for 170 and a touchdown. And so yeah, the best day at Magic
That is your best day at Magic Kingdom. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Hey, I love Disney. Like, I am a Disney nerd. I've been there a lot. Love it. Still, part of me wants to go back for one more, like, big, huge Disney trip with the kids and stuff. All right. Treylon Burks. I'm going with Valley Fair. We're going up to Scott Fish's neighborhood. It's a really good park. And there's, like, no competition in the area for theme parks. Like, that's it. If you're anywhere around there, you're going to Valley Fair. I assume Treylon Burks is catching every ball in Tennessee, right?
You didn't see the Roto World or the NBC Sportshead blurb that he's the third on the depth chart?
No, I'm not going to believe that. I don't care if he's the eighth on the depth chart. He's better than all the other options around there. Jameson Williams. So, like, this is I'm going with Knott's Berry Farm. Again, good. Kind of just grouped in, clumped into an area where there's a bunch of them. Like, in the rookie draft order. Not necessarily on his team. Knott's Berry Farm, good. But grouped in, you know, not like super far above Treylon Burks or Valley Fair. But, you know, fine. Chris Olave. Now, this is going to be like...
By the way, for those wondering, this is great, John. This is much more than I thought it was going to be like three of them.
Oh, no. I told you, I have like... I've been to a lot of parks. All right, we got Toverland. This is over in the Netherlands. In the Netherlands. So this obviously for me has a little bit of nostalgic because I loved it during our Euro trip that we went to an amusement park over there. And Chris Olave is a Buckeye. So that's why, for me, he compares to Toverland. Also, very good park. I probably, I had a lot of fun at it, which probably made me like it more. Chris Olave made me, did some good things for the Buckeyes. So maybe I like him a little more. All right, Sky Moore, he's Epcot. I don't get it. I don't get it.
You like the big ball?
No, like, I don't get Epcot. Like, drinking around the world, sure. That's fine. Like, that's what else do you do?
So drinking around the world to Epcot is Mahomes to Sky Moore. Like, Sky Moore exists because of Patrick Mahomes. Epcot exists because drinking out on the world.
But then there's like all this other stuff there. Like, I don't know, just... Well, they did have the buffalo popcorn too. That was delicious. That was the only place to get it in Disney. And it was amazing. So, Christian Watson. He is Canada's Wonderland for me. Only because of the initials. I don't really have a comp, but he's CW. Canada's Wonderland, CW. Great. James Cook is King's Dominion. I've been there. It's kind of felt like so if Kenneth Walker is King's Island, James Cook is King's Dominion. Well, kind of overrated.
Overrated.
Not okay. Nearly as good. Again, for me, not nearly as good. But like,
do people claim that King's Dominion's upside is higher than?
I think some people.
King's Islands.
Some people claim they're basically the same park. They're not the same park. They're really close to the same park long ago. They really, really were. They're not anymore. All right, George Pickens is Carowinds. I like it a little bit more than everybody. Like, I love Carowinds, and it's just a sneak. I think it's
what is Carowinds?
Carowinds is it's over the South Carolina-North Carolina border down in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. It's the only park in North America that crosses two states. So it's really fun. It, like I said, I think it's a sneaky value because it's not often all that crowded. And they actually have some really good coasters. Like, there's going to be some really good days for George Pickens. Hopefully he gets a couple. All right. Let's see. What else do we have? Kenny Pickett is Coney Island. Meh. Like, if you're really in need of a day at an amusement park, Coney Island in Cincinnati, I should say. Not, I've never been to Coney Island in New York, but Coney Island in Cincinnati, like, I don't, it's, if you go there, you might have fun. You're probably going to feel like, why didn't we just go up to Kings Island? It's not that far away. We should have just worked a little harder and gotten
there. But sometimes, as in this quarterback class, sometimes there is no Kings Island.
Yeah,
maybe there's a settle for the Coney Island in Cincinnati, which I didn't know there was a Coney Island in Cincinnati. So there you go.
Yeah. It's not, at one point it was fun. Then they built Kings Island, and I don't think they've done anything to Coney Island since. All right, my final one, Malik Willis, is Michigan Adventure. This is a park where probably not a lot of people have heard of it. We went to it. We went to it as part of this big trip where we were traveling around, going to all the Cedar Fair parks. So we were having all kinds of fun, lots of excitement. Then we got to Michigan Adventure. It needs some work. It was kind of a disappointment. kind of a letdown. We quickly left to go to Canada's Wonderland. I think we stayed there. Not even a full day in Michigan Adventure. That's Malik Willis. A lot of excitement. Now kind of a letdown. Nathan, I have other parks I didn't even get the list because I couldn't think of all of them.
But, next time I'll give you ample opportunity for your
park comparisons. Worlds of Fun. I didn't have a comp for Worlds of Fun, California's Great America, Animal Kingdom. I was trying to think of one for Americana, which is like a tiny little local park that shut down here like 30, 40 years ago. Like when I was a kid, it was just, oh my God. Like I can't believe that this place operated. Even thinking back on it, it was probably scary.
All right. So what about my very lazy comp of Rashad White is Busch Gardens, where he's Rashad White is Busch Gardens. I'm going to put this together. He landed in the perfect spot. He's going to have his moments, you know, like food and wine fest, beer and garden, all those fun things. But there is the looming factor of Disney is right next door, or Universal's right next door. So it's like, are you going to settle for Rashad White, or are you going to just go across the hall for Kenneth Walker and Breece Hall?
Yeah. That's why I've never really been to Busch Gardens, although I haven't done Universal either. But I mean, anytime we've gone to Orlando, it's like we're just going to do Disney parks because, like, that's what we're here for. We're planning a Disney trip. Although I do kind of want to go to Universal. They have some coasters I want to get on.
All righty, that should wrap us up for this evening. Any last words, John?
Thank you, Nathan, for having me. This was fun.
Oh, yeah. As always, we appreciate you, John, and we will talk to you soon. For everybody else, we will talk to you guys next week. Subscribe, RotoViz, RotoViz, RV Radio 2022, and Underdog, RotoViz, to get your $100 deposit match for free. We'll talk to you guys soon. Kadoo!